Towns King here with Javi King and Max Pinto with SEC Sports Life. Today we're going to be talking about SEC baseball and what teams have stood out to us this season, and how Max and I have been able to play against three SEC powerhouses this season. So first, Javi, what's it looking like this year in the SEC?
Well, it's really surprising this year because Florida, they're known to be such a big powerhouse, you know, consistently making it to the SEC tournament in Hoover, Alabama, and then going on to make it to the regionals, and then usually having a great chance to make it to the College World Series. But this year they're struggling. They're a very young team. They have 13 returning players. Wow. And Kevin O'Sullivan, the head coach there, he knew that it was going to be a struggle. He didn't realize it was going to be this bad. Right now they're 25-14 overall, which is a 641 winning percentage out of 1,000. And then they're only 6-9 in the conference. So you can tell that the SEC overall as a conference has a huge population of good athletes.
Right.
Yeah, and one thing you look at that you said, you mentioned how they're 25-14. Which, if you think about it as a whole, is that really that's not bad, but Right. They're historically so good that 25-14 is bad for the Gators at this point. But you did mention how they're only 6-9 in conference, which is not how they usually are. Usually they dominate the conference, but
right. So what teams are at the top of the SEC right now? What are we looking at?
Well, if you go back to the Florida thing, for sure, you know, a lot of people definitely agree with that. You know, 6-9 is not great in the conference. If you go back and look at their schedule, they've won three games straight against Long Beach. Then they struggled in their midweek game against South Florida. And then they went on to play Miami, dropped the first game, but won the series with two wins following it. And then they go on a stretch playing these smaller schools like Winthrop and Florida Gulf Coast and collect big wins. And then they get hit by Mississippi State when they play at their place in Gainesville, where they're expected to win, dropping the first two games. And then, of course, we all know the powerhouse Vandy right now in Nashville. Vandy swept Florida completely. And that was definitely a turning point, eye-opener for the Florida Gators. And Nelson Maldonado, he had to come and gather his troops together, with him being the senior, you know, and try to get them to focus on just one play at a time, one situation at a time. So then they went on to play Alabama down here in Tuscaloosa and collected three wins. And everything was rolling fine until they got to Ole Miss in Oxford, Mississippi, and dropped three games against them. But also, if you look at the SEC as a whole, like you were saying, Towns, the Auburn Tigers, they've been doing really good. Now, they have the same overall record, 24-13. In conference, they're right at 500, a little bit underneath. But their pitching is outstanding. Tanner Burns is doing phenomenal things. Some people relate him to Mays, last year's pitcher, saying that Tanner's numbers are just as good, if not better, through his pitching. So I think I could see Auburn making a run for it, definitely closer to SEC tournament time.
Right, and as we remember, Casey Mize was one of the best players in college baseball last year. He helped the Tigers go deep into the playoffs and really showed out for him this year. And to have another guy like that this year being able to pitch for him coming out of the bullpen, right, or is he a starter?
He's a starter.
He's getting the game rolling for the Tigers, and it's played a major role for them this year.
You know, and I think not Butch Jones, but Butch Thompson, the head coach for the Auburn Tigers, his decision of making Burns start the weekend series has been phenomenal. I think that's probably one of his best decisions, you know, moving forward with the Auburn Tigers.
Yeah, and so at the top of the standings in the SEC, we've got Georgia. Max, what do we got on Georgia this year?
Yeah, I mean, historically, when you think about Georgia University, you don't really think of them as a baseball school. You know, they've been dominating in football, but the past couple of years in baseball, they just haven't been able to put it together until now. You know, they just 2 years ago, they only got 25 wins, and now in the SEC, they're already at 10 wins, and they have 30 wins overall. And I read an article that Coach Strickland was talking about how, you know, pitching wins games. And so he started trying to focus his team really around pitching, specifically starting pitching, You know, they have two – their Friday night starter and their Saturday night starter both have under 1.5 ERAs, which is outstanding considering they're going against SEC pitching. I mean, SEC hitting every single day, which is some of the best hitters in baseball. And both of them have a combined over 100 strikeouts. And that just shows how, you know, even though their offensive performance this year hasn't been that great, they're dominating with their pitching, and that's leading to wins. You know, they already have 30 right. wins. To be in the 30-win column, you know, this soon in the season uh-huh. is something special. And their coach really had to go out there and get some recruits. Like starting pitcher Hancock, who's a sophomore, his class was the third best ranked high school class coming into freshman year. They were stacked, and he knew that with those young guys, they were going to develop at their program, become some of the best pitchers in the nation. And he's using those guys now, and they're starting to really be able to figure it out. And, you know, they're just winning
yeah.
games.
Yeah, they're going off of that, last night they came up with a huge victory against number 20 ranked Clemson, and in a 20-inning game. I yeah. mean, that was unbelievable.
It was yeah. 6 hours and 30 minutes. I can't even imagine.
It was crazy. In the 19th inning, one of the announcers said it was 4 hours since one of the teams has scored a run. And we had gotten back from our midweek game against Troy and sat down and watched four innings of baseball after we'd gotten back at 12 o'clock at night. And
yeah, it was already 12:30 at night. Yeah, so game's yeah. still going on.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. And so for them to be able to pick up that win at home against their crowd that was still there, 1 o'clock a.m. Eastern, was pretty cool for them to walk it off. But
I think it's cool to see, too, like in the SEC, these players come in, you know, some come obviously from JUCO schools or smaller colleges, you know, but these guys that come straight out of high school, you know, that you don't see them play right away for most of the part, but you get a few that do. But the time that they have to develop in the SEC programs, you know, right. that's why the SEC, for me personally, that's why I think the SECs, they're just beating each other up. And it's not just baseball, you know, it's right. the entire SEC and able to compete against these different conferences
right.
during their midweeks and get wins. And you can see it tests them, you know, like a 20-inning game, it tests them how much attention they're going to pay attention to the game,
right?
You know, as it goes deeper and deeper, yeah, and it yeah. paid off for them.
Yeah.
And it also just shows how if you have great pitching, you're going to dominate college baseball. Georgia right. has never been known as a great team. That's because their pitching has never been able to figure it out. Finally, they get a couple starting pitchers that nobody can hit, and they're just running right through the SEC. You know, they're number one in the SEC East, and with these starting pitchers, if they're able to stay healthy, I wouldn't be surprised if we see them, you know, coming out with SEC championship, regular season, and possibly a tournament. They're definitely going to go to a regional and be a team to that's going right. to be there.
I think they'll definitely be at Hoover, you know, and they'll be a top seed there. I'm not sure if they'll be number one just because we have a lot more SEC play to go. And, you know, as like I said earlier, teams are just beating each other up.
Yeah,
that's just part of it.
Right.
But I think once they get to Hoover, if they can get that first win and settle down, they'll be fine. And they'll potentially be playing on that Sunday, you know, for the, yeah. the tournament.
The key, yeah, the key to the tournament's pitching. If you got starting pitching, you got – couple guys in the bullpen that can go more than three innings.
For sure.
That's the key to the tournament.
For sure. And you say that, but like during that time of the year in Alabama, you know, there's always rain delays. I don't think we've gone 1 year without a full game being rain delayed, you know.
Right.
At least one of those games in the tournament. So like pitching is key to have that depth, you know, underneath the starting pitcher is gonna be key for them to move forward in that tournament.
Right.
Yeah, and another team that I've seen recently is the Mississippi State Bulldogs. They come in with a 32-6 record, winning 0.842 wins out of 1,000, and they're 10-5 in conference with a 6-game win streak, and they've been huge this year. What was it? They beat Auburn 2 out of 3 games, and on Sunday they put up 20 runs. Against Auburn, and it was unbelievable. Pitching was unbelievable. Right. For people to come in that situation in a deciding game in a series is great.
To even be able to score 20 runs in a game is ridiculous, right. And to do it in an SEC match against Auburn, which has great pitching,
It's almost like
unbelievable.
It's almost like a football game. If you lots of hits coming around.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. One standout player, I think, this year, he has always stood out his whole 4 years, is Jake Mangum. The guy is unbelievable. He broke the hit record at Mississippi State, and just it has a knack for getting on base. It is really unbelievable. He's been drafted every year, right, in college?
Since his
freshman year. Since high school, right?
He got drafted out of high school, and then his junior year, he got drafted for a lot of money and decided he wanted to come back to Mississippi State.
Right. And for that to be able to happen, like, you've got to really love your teammates, and that's the biggest part of Mississippi State baseball, is they are such a team-oriented team.
Shows what the coaching staff's doing there with players, you know, kind of type of guys they're producing.
Yeah, they really depend on each other and want to rally around the team and win for their coach. It's been nice.
Yeah, even watching them play, you can tell that. You're like, man, none of these guys are really guys that came out of high school with so-called prospects.
Right.
You know, watch them play, you're like, these guys aren't full of talent, but the way they play the games, they know how to play. They play fast. They play hard. They play like they really want to be there, and they put it together as a team. You know, they play as a team. A lot of people say, like, oh, baseball's not as much as a team sport, but when you got guys like that on your team that are all working with each other, that want each other to be the best players they can be,
right,
and then you have a team captain like Jake Mangum, who's easily the best hitter in all of college baseball,
right,
as your leadoff, you know, he's going to be able to get games started. You watch him play, and it's like the man can't get out.
Yeah.
Literally, he has two strikes, and he will not get out.
He will find a way to get on base.
He will find a way to get a hit. He will see the shortstop playing back and purposely poke it to the shortstop, and he's so fast, he'll be safe. And then next thing you know, he's at second. Next thing you know, he's at third because he's the fastest dude and has I don't even know how many stolen bags.
Right.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, with these teams, they got such a great bond, you know, that they build during the offseason, that I feel like these coaches, one of their biggest problems is it might not just be coaching. You know, it's trying to keep those players to stay on the team that have opportunities to go play at the next level, you know. And as a college student, you know, yeah, the money looks really good, you know, because there's no cap in the MLB, you know.
Right.
But I think if you're able to get those players to buy into the program, you know, and be willing to come back, you know, maybe even just for one more year, you know, they don't have to necessarily come for their senior year or their last year if they got redshirted the first year, but come back and, like, just after a successful season and your stock goes up high, you know, come back and let's just keep building that stock and building that relationship with your teammates, your coaches, and, of course, the fans that all come to every single game.
Totally. And who doesn't want to win a national championship? I mean, I know that these guys are – that's what they're shooting for. And I know a lot of schools are shooting for that. But for them to be able to bring back seniors like Jake Mangum, who is hitting .398 on the year, like, it's unbelievable. And they definitely want to shoot for that and win a national championship.
For sure. Everybody's dream is to get to Omaha.
Totally.
You know, and that's just in all college baseball, not just SEC baseball.
Totally,
yeah.
Totally. And going back to what you were saying about SEC powerhouses beating up each other, like, I'm telling you, there's some Pac-12 teams that are good, but I don't think it compares to SEC baseball.
No.
Yeah, just going around some Power 5 conferences, you look at the ACC – you look at Pac-12, you look at the SEC. I mean, really,
even the Big 12 with Texas and TCU. TCU has actually dropped off this year, but
historically
been really good.
But, you know, throughout the conference, it's like there's no conference that really compares to the SEC.
Right.
It's a dogfight every time, every single weekend. It doesn't matter who you're playing. There's no bye week in the SEC.
No, you've got to be bought in. You know, day one on Friday all the way till day three on Sunday. You two, Towns and Max, y'all have gotten the opportunity to play against three SEC teams. You know, first off, y'all started with Mississippi State, then went up to Nashville to play Vanderbilt, and then came down here for Alabama.
Yeah.
Just go through, like, what I saw as a fan. You know, I actually made the trip up to Nashville and then watched a little bit of the Alabama game. What I can see, you know, and I'm not a baseball genius, but what I do know and what I can tell is those guys, they're built different. They're a lot bigger.
Yeah.
They're a lot faster than not everybody, you know, from on the Stanford team, but They're a lot bigger, a lot faster, and they thought that y'all were a much smaller team. You know, they felt like going into this, they could dominate y'all.
Right.
You know, just talk to me a little bit about, like, when y'all played Mississippi State, how was it playing some of the top SEC players? Like you were saying, they had one guy that led an SEC stolen bases, so.
Yeah. And, well, one thing I'll tell you at the game against Mississippi State is, out of all three games that we played against SEC teams this year, the one team that I felt that we had a chance to beat, really, was Mississippi State, because we were at home. At the time, they were number one in the country.
Yeah.
And we knew that we had nothing to lose, that we were at home. This is the most fans we're going to get at a game. And I knew that they didn't want to play us because they just finished traveling all the way to Birmingham for a midweek game that to them doesn't mean much. So they didn't want to play us. And I knew that from the first inning, we had our freshman pitcher going out there, and he was just getting outs. Mm-hmm. So I felt that we had a chance, because looking at Mississippi State, they're really not as physical as a team compared to the other teams, because they're not as big, really. They work together very well, and they're very scrappy.
Right.
But, you know, we were in it all game. You know, they didn't start one of their top guys against us, which we knew. And I thought that we played a really good game. It's the games that you have to look at where we played Vanderbilt and Alabama, where we were completely dominated.
Totally. And going back to the Mississippi State game, we came out and put four runs on them right off the bat.
Yeah, y'all got an early jump.
We got an early jump on them.
And it's about confidence. You know, once we're able to put up some runs and get some confidence, you know, that's when we start believing, like, you know what, we got a chance.
Right. And the whole dugout felt it. The fans felt it. And we got up to that 4-0 lead and kind of came to an offensive halt. Like, They started throwing some guys that normally throw on weekends and throw a little bit harder. And we kept finding barrels, but we were hitting them right at guys. And they were doing the same thing. They were finding barrels, hitting them right at guys. But later in the game, some of them fell. We had a couple miscues on defense and let them back in it. And I think that's the biggest difference between SEC and mid-major schools, is that they're able to keep it collected, keep it calm, and keep fighting and keep everything focused, whereas – mid-major schools and some schools like Samford, a lot of times we can get sloppy
and get a little fatigued. Right. What you say?
And
I think
pitching too.
Pitching is a big thing because when we go to our bullpen, we don't have guys throwing 95 plus miles an hour.
Like, it seems like every single guy
that came out of the bullpen was throwing 95 plus.
That's what I was going to say too. When you said, you know, y'all had that early lead and then you're able to make hits, but the Mississippi State team, they weren't fatigued like that. I mean, they were able to stay on their 2 feet, you know, and make plays. But same thing with Samford. But then eventually, I think what you're saying is, like, y'all came to a halt because y'all's pitching depth was just so low. Like, you have guys that you have to save for that weekend game, as if Mississippi State, you know, they're recruiting and process of everything. Like, they're able to get those pitchers that maybe, you know, oh, yeah, you can go midweek games, but if we need you because just we don't want to lose a game, you know, we can play during the midweek, you know, instead of the weekend.
Yeah, totally. And that's one of the biggest things in all of college baseball is pitching. But when you've got guys that can go out there and run up the gun and run up 95 miles an hour in midweek games against teams like us, like, that's hard to beat. But going to the Vanderbilt game, that one was just tough. I mean, we had a tough bottom of the first.
Yeah,
I think we beat them for 26 outs. We couldn't get one out. They put up nine runs without getting an out, and none of the balls except for one, I think, in the first inning was hit hard.
Yeah,
we
gave it up in the first inning. But, you know, looking at Vanderbilt, they're 28-9 this year. They're 9-6 in conference. Shows they're a great team, and, you know, they're always a great team.
Right.
You know, Tim Corbin, their coach, he's an amazing coach. What he's doing there at Vanderbilt is unreal. You know, it seems like every year, in and out, they are a competitive team. They're always at the top of the SEC.
They're going to make it to a regional.
This year, they're, so far, they're second in the SEC East.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, with a 9-6 record in conference, you know, you can't be upset about that, because it's a dogfight every day you're out there. And playing at Vanderbilt, you know, they didn't have as many fans. It wasn't as much – it wasn't as scary going in as a lot of our players thought it was.
Right.
But I felt from the beginning a lot of our players were playing scared.
Yeah, definitely.
Just because of the name. Oh, right. We're playing Vanderbilt. This is one of the best teams in the country at Vanderbilt. We've never played here.
They have that brand, you know. Right, that's the Vandy brand. That's what they do, you know.
The Vandy boys.
That's
who they are.
They've been very successful. They've won multiple SEC championships, regular season and tournament, you know. And they've won a national championship, you know, recently to an extent, you know. But if you go back and look at Vandy, just to talk about, you know, how competitive – the SEC is, you know, I just can't get my mind off of that. When they played Texas A&M, they were ranked 19th at the time. You know, they lost the series, but all the games were – or two of the games were extremely close. And then they go play a midweek game on a Tuesday up in Nashville against Belmont. But then they come right back and have to stay in Nashville and play Florida at the time that was ranked 14th.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So you just see those teams, they're hitting ranked teams during their times, you know? Back to back.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and there's, eventually it's got to be exhausting, but this SEC baseball, like, their depth and the way they're built, you know, is just incredible. They can do that, you know, weekend
and
after weekend.
The difference between, like, a mid-major lineup and an SEC lineup is that with the mid-major lineups, you'll usually have two guys in the lineup, 1 through 9, that are great hitters, but since the other 7 aren't as dominant of hitters, you can pitch around those two guys. Teams like Vanderbilt have guys like their right fielder and fourth batter, sometimes third batter, J.J. Bleda, already has 16 home runs on the year. And you think, you know, why are teams still pitching him? They're pitching to him because they are so dominant. Yeah, their lineups just, you can't pitch around anyone because behind him is another guy like Julian Infante, who didn't start off as hot, but in the past 12 games already has 5 home runs. And so, so what are you going to do? Walk J.J. Bleda to get
just
to him
to
have another real threat? And that's the difference why you need to have such good pitching. Because with lineups that are so dominant like that, guys with 16 home runs already is ridiculous. Those are first-round draft picks all throughout the team's roster.
That are coming to play, you know, these midweek games, you know.
That are coming, and they're showing up because, you know, they compete like no one else.
Yeah. Definitely. Well, it taught me through, like, I know the Alabama game, like, when Samford played Alabama, like, that was not what y'all wanted to happen, you know, and I know for a fact that that was not y'all's mindset, oh, we're going to get crushed, you know, by Alabama, especially, like, an in-state rival to an extent, you know, just right down the road, 45 minutes. But talk to me just how, like, number one, how y'all prepared for that game, and then talk me through a little bit of what y'all saw going on through there. I mean, I know there was a lot of bombs. I think that was the most home runs Alabama's hit in a single game in a long time, you know. But just talk to me kind of what you saw and then how y'all composed yourself facing, you know, such a great team like Bama.
Yeah, I mean, I think going into the game, last year we beat up on them pretty good at their place, and then they came to us and beat up on us. So I think it's a constant battle between who's going to beat up on who. We got them next week, I think, at their place. So it's going to be exciting. But going back to the other game, I think pitching, again, biggest thing. Our freshman pitcher that we put out on the bump came in, and he was throwing strikes, but they were hitting them. And that's what happened. And so when you go up and throw strikes to SEC hitters, they're gonna do damage to the baseball. And so you can't pitch around them either, because just like Max said, you're going to get to a better guy.
Yeah, for sure. Did you ever feel like, though, like, I know they were hitting bombs, but, I mean, there's got to be at least some times that they hit the ball in play, you know? How was y'all's defense be able to react to, like, how much power they have, you know, off the bat, you know, to making plays?
I think we have a great defense. Our shortstop is by far one of the best defensive shortstops in the nation, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. But I think that they're – ability to hit the ball has just been was just great that night. I mean, they were seeing the ball well, and there's no way for the rest of the season that they're going to be able to hit the ball that well again.
Yeah.
That's just baseball.
I mean, you just look at it. They hadn't hit the ball like that all year. They're 4-11 in the SEC.
Right.
You know, they're getting dominated.
They're getting dominated.
You know,
in the
we didn't
SEC.
Think that was going to happen. Just to put this into perspective, so you guys know some of the numbers. They had 21 runs, 19 hits, and 9 home runs. We pretty much gave them every single record they could ever want in one night. They've never hit the ball that well ever. But I'm not trying to take away what they did. They went up there, With an approach.
They had their approach, and they did their
job. You know, they went up there with confidence, and they were able to hit the ball. It was just something I've never seen is they were hitting the ball consistently